The Definitive Guide to Getting the Right Things Done. Author, Peter Drucker. From worker to executive. In those old days when manual workers predominated in organisations, we were mainly concerned with efficiency, that is, the ability of the worker to do things right. The manual worker can always be judged in terms of quantity and quality of a definable output, such as a pair of shoes. Few people of knowledge were needed then. They were at the top of formulating ideas and giving orders that needed manual workers to carry out. Only manual workers were in short supply. The knowledge workers were so small a fraction of the total work population that we couldn't be concerned with them much. Today, modern society depends on a large knowledge institutions. In every one of them, the centre of gravity has shifted to the knowledge worker, the man who puts to work his brains rather than his muscle or his hands. That's why a big shift is happening from the manual worker's efficiency to the knowledge worker's effectiveness. That's the ability to get the right things done, without effectiveness. Efficiency is merely a waste of time and resources. There are a few things less pleasing and less productive than a production department that effectively turns out the right outputs of the wrong product. Now we're faced with a great change. Working effectively differs a lot from working efficiently. Who is an executive? Managers are executive. And every knowledge worker is an executive if they are responsible for a contribution that materially affects the organisation. Such a person cannot just carry out orders, instead they make decisions. They may be demoted or fired, but as long as they have the job, the goals, standards and the contribution are in their keeping. Knowledge work is not defined by quantity or even by its costs or the resources spent on it. Knowledge work is defined only by results. The four institutional worlds. A physician has no problem of effectiveness. The patient who walks into their office brings with them everything to make the physician's knowledge effective. During the time they are with the patient, the doctor can, as a rule, be devoted to the patient. They can keep interruptions to a minimum. The contribution the physician is expected to make is clear. What is important is determined by whatever ails the patient. The patient's complaints establish the doctor's priorities and the goal. The objective is given. It is to restore the patient to health. Physicians don't have much trouble being effective. The executive is entirely in a different position. They have to deal with four institutional worlds that can cause them much trouble: time, contribution, and the inside decisions. World number one, time. Time wasters abound in life of every executive. When a company's best customer calls up, the sales executive has to listen. Working with people wastes a lot of time. To spend a few minutes with people is simply not productive. If one wants to get anything across, one has to spend a fairly large minimum quantum of time. Relations with other knowledge workers are especially time-consuming. Since the knowledge worker directs themselves, they must understand what achievement is expected of them and why. They need a good deal of information, discussion, instruction, all things that take time. Consolidating time. The executive should record their time use and determine how much time they have for important tasks that will really make a contribution. Then they should consolidate the time that is available under their control and dispense it only on the important tasks. World number two, contributions, not efforts. The effective executive focuses on contribution. They look up from their work and outward towards goals. The focus on contribution is the key to effectiveness. The great majority of executives tend to focus downwards. They are occupied with efforts rather than with results, and as a result, they render themselves ineffectual. Contributions, not relations. Effective executives never worry much about human relation. In spite of this, they have good human relations with others because they focus on contribution in their own work. As a result, their relationships are productive, and this is the only valid definition of a good human relation. Warm feelings and pleasant words are meaningless, are indeed false front for wretched attitudes if there is no achievement in what is, after all, a work-focused and task-focused relationship. World number three, the inside. An effective executive doesn't deal with weaknesses. To achieve results, they must only use all the available strengths and the strengths of subordinates and the strengths of the superior. Managing subordinates. The effective executive fills positions and promotes on the basis of what a person can do. They do not make staffing decisions to minimise weaknesses but to maximise strength. They hire people for their strengths, not for the absence of weaknesses. Whoever tries to place a person or staff in an organisation to avoid weakness will end up at best with mediocrity. The idea that we are well-rounded people, people who only have strengths and no weaknesses, is a prescription for mediocrity, if not for incompetence. Effective executives never ask, "How do they get along with me?" Their question is, "What do they contribute?" Their question is never, "What can a person not do?" Their question is always, "What can they do uncommonly well?" An effective organisation must be able to tolerate diversity of moods and temperaments. It can only do that when relationships are tasks-focused rather than personality-focused. Managing the boss. Most managers have no great trouble managing their subordinates. The real question is how they can manage their boss. Effective executives make the strengths of the boss productive. Contrary to popular legend, subordinates do not, as a rule, rise to the position and prominence over prostrate bodies of incompetent bosses. If their boss is not promoted, they will tend to be bottled up behind them. And if their boss is relieved for incompetence or failure, the successor usually is brought in from an outside and bring with them their own bright young men. Conversely, there is nothing quite as conducive to success as a successful and rapidly promoted superior. Thus, making the strength of the boss productive is a key to the subordinate's own effectiveness. Effective executives don't try to change their bosses. They accept their limitations and enable them to use their strengths more productively. World number four, decisions. A decision is a judgment. It's a choice between alternatives. It's rarely a choice between right and wrong. It's at best a choice between almost right and probably wrong. Much more often, it's a choice between two courses of action, neither of which is probably more nearly right than the other. Generic or exception? The first question of the effective decision maker asks is this a generic situation or an exception? Is this something that underlines a great many occurrences, or is the occurrence a unique event that needs to be dealt with as such? The generic always has to be answered through a rule, a principle. The exceptional can only be handled as such and as it comes. Effectiveness must be learned. The manual worker had only economic goals and was content with the economic rewards. The knowledge worker demands economic rewards too. But their presence is not enough. They need opportunity and need achievement. They need fulfillment. Only by being effective executive can the knowledge worker obtain these satisfactions. Only executive effectiveness can enable our society to harmonise its two needs. The needs of organisation to obtain contribution from the individual and the need of the individuals to accomplish their purposes. Effectiveness must be learned.